Hi, I'm Jack Aaron, the International Director of Student Ministries here at Christ Community. And I'm with you to begin our journey through the book of Jeremiah. I particularly like this book because it's had such an impact on my life. My life verse is from this book. It's from Jeremiah 32, verse 27. This is what it says. It says, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" There was a really dark time in my life when I was running a business and we were in really tough times and I didn't know how to handle the financial mess that I was facing. So I would pray, but I would still wake up in the middle of the night with great fear. And one day in my quiet time, I read that verse. 32:27, and when I woke up, as I usually did in the middle of the night, about 3 a.m, with these feelings of terror, it's like the Holy Spirit spoke that verse into my soul. He says, "I'm the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Now quit worrying and go to sleep." And ever since then, when I'm tempted to worry about things, God reminds me of this verse. So I think you'll find as you read through Jeremiah, there are nuggets of gold that will nourish your soul. Now let's look at Jeremiah for a few minutes. He was a young man. He was actually from a tribe of priests, and he was from a town probably a short distance from Jerusalem. The town's name was Anathoth. So he was probably really familiar with Jerusalem, and I'm sure his family did priestly duties in the city of Jerusalem. Well, as a young man, and we don't know exactly how old he was when God spoke to him, but as a young man, he heard God's call. And God said some amazing things to him. In fact, he said, "Jeremiah, before you were born, I had a job for you to do as a prophet." I think that gives us great insight into the foreknowledge of God. God knows us before we're born, and He has a purpose for us. So that's both a challenge and a comfort. He has a purpose, but there's a huge responsibility that we have too. And that sense of responsibility was overwhelming to Jeremiah. In fact, he says, "Ah, Lord God," he said, "how can I speak? I'm only a child." And the Lord said back to him, "Don't say that." He said, you just go where I send you to go and say what I tell you to say, and I'll rescue you. I'll even put my words in your mouth." Those are kind of my paraphrase. But then as he goes on, God gives him even more affirmation when he says, "Today I'm going to make you like a fortified city. You're going to be like an iron pillar, like a bronze wall. I'm going to make you almost indestructible." In fact, he said, "Kings and powerful officials are going to come against you, but they won't be able to beat you. They won't win because I am with you and I will rescue you." So God gave him such affirming words like, "I've got a message for you to give, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to make you strong." Then he goes on to say that the very things, the messages that he gives Jeremiah to deliver, are actually going to change the course of nations. Right on the heels of Jeremiah's call, he gives Jeremiah two visions. The first is a vision of an almond branch. Now you might recall a branch of an almond, or maybe an almond stick, is referred to when there was some conflict over who was the rightful priest. Moses took Aaron's rod, which was probably an almond branch. He says, "Now watch this." And the next day it had blossoms on it and even almond fruit. So it was kind of a sign that, "Watch this," he's saying. And even the Hebrew word for almond branch means watch. So God was saying, "You just watch and see what I'm going to do. I'm going to fulfill my prophecies." Then the next vision that he gave Jeremiah was a vision of a big boiling pot. And it wasn't that the pot was just boiling, but it was starting to tip in the direction of Judah and Jerusalem. And of course, when you think of something boiling, you think of turmoil and trouble. And that turmoil represents the coming invasion of northern nations that will spill out unto Judah and Jerusalem and bring judgment. Why is God bringing judgment onto his people? Well, he goes on to, in the next chapters, to give a picture of why God's judgment is going to be so severe against his people. Now, as we consider this, we realize that Jeremiah's message is going to be a really tough one. No one wants to hear of trouble and judgment ahead. So it's going to take a special anointing, a special strength on the part of Jeremiah to deliver this message. Tough message given by an empowered prophet. In chapters 2 and 3, we get the reason why God is sending this awful judgment, this invasion. The first picture is of Israel as a blushing bride. There's nothing like young love and that excitement of being married. Those are some of the greatest days of life, is that young married life. And that's the way he describes Israel. They were like a young bride who was devoted to her husband. And not only was she devoted to him, but he was devoted to her. He gave her everything she could have wanted. He gave her land. He gave her protection. He provided in so many different ways. He cared for her. But amazingly, she became unfaithful and began to pursue other lovers. And not just lovers that could do anything good for her, but lovers that would abuse her and were false. He's so surprised. He said, how could you do that? Even nations that worship false gods are loyal to them. And here I am, the true God, and you've become unfaithful. They turned from the real thing to that which is empty. You know, if you can't drill a well, I know my grandfather tried to drill a well on acreage he had, but he couldn't find water there, so they had to build a cistern to hold water. Well, God says that Israel turned from a living water, from a living spring, to an empty water tank, an empty cistern. Then he goes on to say that she'd become like a wild vine. If you go in my backyard this afternoon, you'll see some wild strawberries that have just grown wild all over by my bushes. And they're kind of cute little berries, but they're tasteless. And the wild strawberry leaves are just taking over my yard. So my only choice is to destroy them because they're harmful to my yard. In the same way, Israel had turned from this fruitful vine into a wild vine that was now worthless and was only destined for destruction. Well, this one innocent blushing bride is now like a prostitute. Reminds me of what we read in Proverbs, where the prostitute eats, wipes her mouth, and says, I've done nothing wrong. Israel had become like that. She had turned her back and forgotten her true love, her God, her only help, her only real source of hope. Instead of trusting her God, her husband, and acknowledging her sin, she says, I've done anything wrong. She denies it and runs to foreigners, to Egypt and Assyria for help. But they will only bring her into captivity. The first verses of chapter 3 tell us even more of her hardness in turning to other lovers. When obvious judgment comes, she runs back to God and she says, Father, friend, help me. But she's so hardened, she's not even able to blush because of her shameful behavior. Her prostitution has hardened her heart. She wants God's blessing, even though she's still running after evil. It's a tough message that Jeremiah's starting the book with, but there's a lot of application here. The first thing is, God chose Jeremiah, and he empowered him. And in the same way, he has chosen his followers like us, and he will empower us to carry his message. The second thing is that just as God is faithful, and he marvels when we are unfaithful to him, so he wants us to have hearts of faithfulness, to keep our eyes on him. When we chase after other gods, it will only lead to ruin and emptiness. We got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's really our only source of hope and help. And he needs to be our heart's desire. In this day of unfaithfulness, I think that we should be grieved, as Jeremiah was, over the unfaithfulness in his day. And he became known as the weeping prophet. It's a stern message, but it's good to remind ourselves of the disaster that unfaithfulness brings. So may that message touch our hearts today.